Calvary Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
I want to talk to you today about renewing our vision. Having actually a renewed focus. Not really a new vision. The vision is always the same: to impact this world with the love of Jesus Christ. Period. That's what we're here for. That should be our vision. And it's unchanging and unending until Jesus Christ comes for you and me. Now, what I want to do is talk about some refocusing, renewing our focus, because it seems like our focus has been taken and we are a little out of focus in some areas. But I want to use a couple of passages in Isaiah chapter 43 and in Philippians chapter 3 to bring the point home. So bear with me. But I remember back in 2014, I was invited with five other pastors, just six pastors, invited to San Antonio, Texas, to have a meeting and to talk about what do we do with second generation Hispanics. As you all know, this church started as a Hispanic church because we only did Spanish services. But then we transitioned into doing English services. So believe it or not, we were among the top five churches in the United States that were actually doing this somewhat successfully. So we got a call, and I went to represent our church. And I know that in my eyes, or in maybe in God's eyes, I don't know how successful or not we have been in doing this whole thing in two languages and all this, but I'm loving it, you know, to be able to do this. And it's difficult. But we were called so that in 2014, we could rethink the way Hispanics do church. Why? Because there's a lot of second generation Hispanics that are being born here that don't want to speak Spanish because it looks bad on them, maybe, or because they don't want to identify with the Hispanic culture, or they may be looked upon or judged because they are speaking Spanish and they mostly speak English. And the problem in the Hispanic homes starts happening where the Hispanic children don't speak Spanish, and the Hispanic parents don't speak English. How do they communicate? I don't know. But that happens, right? And so we started tackling the problem and seeing what are churches going to do to start working with second-generation Hispanics who do not either speak Spanish or don't simply want to speak Spanish in 2014. And the idea was that by 2020, we would have it all figured out. Sure. That was in 2014. In 2015, I was called upon to belong to a commission by the Louisiana Baptist Convention. Once again, this time, 10 pastors from the state of Louisiana who seemed to have it together in the Korean, the African American, Hispanic, Anglo, all kinds, Vietnamese, let's put them all together. Let's do a think tank because we need to figure out the vision for the Louisiana Baptist Convention for 2020. You have 5 years to figure this thing out. 2015. I got to admit, by 2016, I dropped out. Let me tell you why I dropped out. Because traveling to Alexandria every other month, it got tiresome. As you may know, I always like to travel by plane. I don't like driving. I don't like cars. I keep saying the same thing. I grew up in a little island like Chris, and if you drive 3 hours, you fall into the ocean. And Alexandria is about 3 hours and 20 minutes. That means I'd be swimming by the time I get there, so I don't like traveling that far. So I dropped out. The report was done in 2020, and unfortunately, the results were not as they expected. But 2020, the year of the vision, the year that everybody was waiting for, 2020. There were so many things, right? Actually, for the Chinese, was the year of the rat. But we'll leave that alone. But in 2018 and 2019, everybody was talking about having 2020 vision, and people started declaring and decreeing and proclaiming the 2020 year would be this and would be that. And you see a lot of the Christians out there proclaiming and declaring and stepping on it and claiming and reclaiming and taking hold of stuff. And I think it's because a lot of times we've been fooled to think, or we actually have not interpreted the word in the scriptures correctly. Because there are some verses that seem, if you don't interpret them right, that seem to imply that you have authority in your words, that what you pronounce, if you tack on in the name of Jesus, or if you tack on as a child of God, then it will come to pass. You get that, Jay? I know you're smiling inside that mask. You know, we've talked about this kind of stuff before. But you see, you cannot compare what comes out of your lips, out of your desires and ideas, to what comes out of the lips of the Almighty God. You just can't. You have to be careful. Now, He has given us authority to proclaim and to preach His word, His desire, His heart, and His plan for humanity. Not what I come up with that I think may be the best solution. God has not given us authority to decide what we want and what we give permission to happen, or what we decree or what we proclaim to be a reality, just because I said it with a seemingly profound conviction, or because I said it very loudly. God has not given us that kind of authority. You see, that is profoundly deceiving. We have to be careful because we have a deceiving heart. See, the power is actually in the revelation of God, the Word of God, the Bible, period. That's where the actual power and authority comes from, to decree and to declare and to proclaim. I follow a pastor. He is also, if I'm not mistaken, a neurosurgeon. He's an awesome guy. He speaks Spanish and English, Dr. Miguel Nunez out of Dominican Republic. He's an awesome theologian. I love him. And he says the following: the movement of positive confession, or the movement of proclaiming and receiving it, this movement is anti-biblical from beginning to end, and it smells like sulfur. Hellish. And he goes on to explain it. It's amazing. You see, I can talk about this all day. And the reason why I'm bringing all this, because there's a lot of people out there talking about prosperity and healing and a bunch of other things. And they're convicted and they're convinced that if they say it, and if they say it with enough conviction, if they say it with enough power, it's going to happen simply because I believe it. And that's not the way it works with God. I can believe whatever I want to believe. And just because I believe it, it doesn't become truth. You see, my question then is, whatever happened to all of those declarations, to all the decrees, to all of the proclamations, and all that we claimed for 2020? You see, a lot of people were like, 2020 is the year of bang. 2020, we're going to do this. And 2020 became the goal. It became because 2020 vision. You know what I mean? Okay, so if all of that is conviction and it happens, if you truly believe it and you put your mind to it, then what happened to 2020? Where did it go? My question is, what happened to all of those decrees? I think God gave us a really, really big lesson last year. He taught us a big lesson. And hopefully we will learn and not repeat our mistakes. 2020 was a difficult year. It was sad. It was overwhelming. The majority of people want to forget 2020 or delete it and never remember it. I know I've said that before. I say, you know what? I'm just going to delete 2020 out of my calendar like it did not happen, period. Well, guess what, David? It did happen. And the same God that was at 2019 is the same God of 2020 and 2021. So, David, you need to shut up and take it like a man of God, right? You see, the hospitals were overwhelmed. People are sick and isolated. Families separated. The economy on a downward spiral. Minds are preoccupied, anxious, and distressed, and depressed. Emotions flooded. Broken spirits, etc., etc. But now, what do we do with 2020 in the past? Whew, we're over it. Not so fast. Do we just hit delete? Or do we hit save 2020? Do we forget it? Or do we remember it? See, memory is something that is so impressive. It's a gift from God. What it's sad is that, speaking for myself, I don't know how to use memory. I mess it all up. What was I saying? Something like that. But I want you to take a look at a couple of passages. I'm going to start in Isaiah chapter 43. In chapter 43, the prophet Isaiah, in verses 18 and 19, he says the following. Do not call to mind the former things, or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? Now, of course, and he keeps on talking about that he'll make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, and he continues on. But what is he saying? The prophet is saying, you know what? Is he saying, forget about the past. Look into the future. Is that what the prophet is saying? I don't know about that, but we'll talk about a few things. Because I think we need to come to grips and face the past head on so that we can turn on and continue on in the present onto the future. So what do I do with my past? I'm going to give you six suggestions for you. And this is not all comprising. It's not comprehensive. These are just six things that I could draw from this passage in Philippians 3, which we're going to look in a second. But first of all, your past, do not deny it. Don't deny it. You cannot deny it. You can't deny it. Even the people of God who lived by denial could not deny that they lived by denial 400 years. You get what I'm talking about? You know the Nile River? Okay, some of you know your geography. You see, denial never makes things go away. You can deny all you want, 2020, but it will not go away. As a matter of fact, we're still reaping some of the harvest from 2020, probably. God always calls us to admit, not to deny. God never says deny. Well, he does, but I'll talk about that in a second. You see, he wants us to admit. He wants us to acknowledge. He wants us to recognize. Because admitting leads to confession. Confession leads to repentance. Repentance leads to forgiveness. And forgiveness leads to freedom to move forward. This is important. You can't just switch off your past and say, click, OFF, it's gone. You can turn from it. You can get past it. You can set it aside. You can leave it behind, but you cannot deny it. I think I've done this before. I think I've told you before, but it's one of the key elements to learning is repetition, 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 right? One of the techniques and or little things that I use when I'm dealing especially with people who are having problems with the past is I have a couple of rearview mirrors in my office, and what I do is I give the rearview mirror from a car, I give it to the person, and I say, okay, grab this rearview mirror, and I'll hold it for them and say, okay, pretend you're driving. and just go ahead. And they're looking at me like, this is weird. I'm like, yeah, put your hands up and just pretend that you're driving. We're going on a journey. And as you're going on a journey of life, let's just say you got to stop for gas. And you got a tire that you need some air in. And you want to get a Coca-Cola Icy or something for the road. So you stop at the gas station. And, you know, you get out, you do your thing, you come back to the car, and you take off. Now, let me ask you, what is this rearview mirror for? I'm checking what's coming behind me. Yeah, just in case. Oh, great. Whatever. Okay. So you want to make sure you don't get sideswiped or anything like that, or your blind spot, blah, blah, blah. Okay, great. Now you're going back on your journey. Look in your rearview mirror. Where is the gas station? Well, it's behind. Great. What does it look like? Well, like a gas station. Great. Keep driving. Is it getting smaller? Yeah. It's getting smaller. It's getting smaller. Do you still see it? Yeah. Until finally, of course, they get tired and say, well, yeah, I don't see it anymore. It's gone. I'm like, okay, now let me ask you a question. The gas station has disappeared from your mirror. Is the gas station still where it was when you went there? Oh, I get it. It's still there. The gas station is there and it didn't move. It's not going anywhere. It will be there. If you turn around, you'll face it and you'll get back to it and you can go get gas again and you can feed off of it. But if you keep going forward, you will never see it. But you know it's still there. The same thing happens with your past. You can't deny it. It's there, but you don't have to go back to it. You don't have to stick to it. You don't have to. And if you stick to your rearview mirror, what's going to happen ahead? You will collide. Rearview mirrors are very helpful. Use them while you're driving, but don't focus on them. You need to refocus your attention to what lies ahead. But God is not saying that the past will go away. You see, another thing you need to do with your past, what? Learn your lesson. Learn your lesson. Have you heard that from your parents ever? Learn your lesson. Learn your lesson. I remember when I was, oh my God, I hate to do this, but when I was 13 years old, that was a few days ago, I went out with some friends. We played basketball, a little team, and we won. We won the championship in town. So guess what we did? 13-year-olds mixed with other kids a little older. We started drinking. After drinking heavily, I got on my bicycle, and on my way home, I had an atrocious accident against a tree. But I managed to pick myself up, all scratched and bruised up, and got home, quietly went to my room and went to bed. And then in the morning, my mom found me halfway out of the bed. I had thrown up all over. You know, it was a mess. And of course, my mom immediately, pow, wake up! And she was all over me. Oh, that hurt. And you gonna clean this up? And to make matters even worse, my dad was home. He had not left for work yet. That was a scary thought. And my mom went off at me like she never had before. She went all over, smacked me around. I mean, this little woman went crazy. And then she says, wait, because your father is here. My dad came in the room and said, you know you're going to clean that up, right? Yeah. You know you're going to do that now, right? Yeah. Let me ask you one question. Are you going to do it again? No. Hurry up and clean it up. I was like, what? You see, and my mom then wanted to smack him, of course. But all he wanted to know was, did you learn your lesson? Right? Have we learned our lessons? You see, we hear it all the time. And we even hear, learn from other people's mistakes so that you don't have to go through them. But we don't like that. Oh, no, my mama. Oh, no, daddy. Let me go through my own mistakes. I don't want to learn from your mistakes. I can make my own mistakes, right? And we, oh, my God. Why is that? It's our rebellious nature, our sinful nature. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 6. Check this out. This is the Apostle Paul. He says, "Now these things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they indeed crave them." Now hear that. Paul is saying, these things happen to those people so that when you go through, when you're in life, you don't go through the same thing they did, and you don't do the same thing they did, you don't crave the same evil they did, you don't fall into the same predicament they did. And in verse 11, a little further, he says, "Now these things happened to them as an example," again, "and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages have come." They died. These people died in their sin, and Paul is saying, learn from that so you don't have to perish. What was Paul talking about? Well, Paul was talking about the people of God, the people of Israel. In the first five verses of this chapter, Paul tells us not to repeat their mistakes because they went through the same, all of them went through the same dry land as the seas were parted. They ate the same spiritual food. They drank the same spiritual drink. They walked the same desert, but yet the majority of them found themselves dead in the desert because of their rebellion. So Paul is saying, learn from their mistakes so you won't make the same mistakes. God always leaves us good examples so that we may follow and learn. But also, that tells me that he is telling us, remember what happened to them. Remember the past. Don't forget the past. Don't forget it. You don't need to forget it. You just need to refocus and learn from it. So what lessons did you learn in 2020? Think about the lessons we're going to learn in 2021, because we don't know what's about to happen, right? What did you learn from others? What did you learn for yourself? I hope something. Let's keep on going. Do not allow your past to cloud your future. Don't allow your past to cloud your future. Don't allow the past to cloud your future. In Isaiah 43, 18, where we read earlier, God instructs the people, you see, do not bring to memory. Do not bring to memory. You make a choice. You see, your past is there, but it is your choice if you keep bringing it to mind. Do not call to mind the former things or consider the things of the past, God says. Now, hold on. Is it forgetting or is it saving? What is it? But in order to understand these verses in the Bible, we must look at the context of what's going on and what Isaiah is speaking of in chapter 43. You see, Isaiah in chapter 43, verse 18 says, do not call to mind the former things, and do not consider the things of the past. It's like, once again, you go out and you want to go out and walk and get some sunshine in. You want to get a suntan or something. You just want to walk out in the fresh and the coolness of day, and you want to see the sun, and all of a sudden the clouds come over and they cover the sun and you can't see it. We were envisioning something clear and a beautiful, clear sky. But then that cloud covers it all. And this cloud from the past, as it covers, it just sends the rain of doubt. And we start doubting because we start looking back and see the things that happened in the past, and we start doubting about the future. See, God doesn't want you to live doubting. God doesn't want you to live like that. He doesn't want you to be clouded and not be able to see the clear of day, the present day, and the future. You see, I want you to know that you don't doubt God no matter what circumstances you go through, because God wants you to know that He is in control of the clouds, of the sun, and of the rain. And He is still the same. The future is in His hands. And if you have your future in His hands, your future is in good hands, of course. Number four, do not allow your past to determine your future. Don't let it cloud your future, but also don't let it determine your future. Some people live in a fatalistic way. They just think, well, if it was like this, it's going to be always the same. Have you ever heard people like that? Oh, yeah, things will never change. They even see themselves and they said, And you can't expect me to change. This is the way I was made. This is the way I was raised. I've always been like that. I mean, it's too old. I'm too old, too late to change. Really? You're discounting the power of God over your life? That's what you're doing. Maybe what you're saying is not that you're too old to change. What you're saying is God is too old to be able to change me. If he can't change himself, how he's going to change me? Because God is never changing. He doesn't need to change. You see, God does not want us to live in fear. He wants us to live in faith. Don't let the past determine your future. You see, your hope cannot be based on your past experiences, but in the one who has your past, your present, and your future. We can't be fatalistic like that. You see, I want you to know, this pandemic, when is it going to stop? Who knows? Nobody knows. Vaccine or no vaccine, are you sure it's going to stop in 2021? Are we going to have this thing done this year? Is it 2021 or 2031? We just don't know. We don't know. We don't know. This pandemic is not eternal. That I know. Did you know that? It will not last forever. God will last forever, and he is eternal. He was before the pandemic, during and after this pandemic, he will be God. And he has an eternal plan to give abundant life. Will there be no crying, no weeping, no pain, no sickness, no sadness? There will be joy and health and blessing. And you know what? No one can frustrate his plans. No one. You see, it's like this. We have this COVID thing right in front of our eyes every day. And we keep seeing it and seeing it and seeing it. And it's right in front of us. And we just can't do that. We need to lay it aside. We need to start driving away from it. In faith, not in fear, and knowing that God needs to take the lead and be in front of us, and we need to set our eyes on him. Why? Let me tell you something. God prefers that you focus on what he does for you more than what you do or not do for him. See, God wants you to focus on what he does, not on what you do or what you haven't been able to do. That's why in verse 19 in chapter 43 of Isaiah, first he says, you know, don't set your eyes on the past. Don't set your eyes and don't bring it to mind. But in verse 19, it says, behold, I am going to do something new. Now it will spring up. Will you not be aware of it? Be aware of it. How are you aware of something? You focus on it. The Israelites at that time had certain expectations of God and what he would do and the way he works in the world. But their expectations were actually preventing them from actually seeing what God was doing in their midst. You see, a lot of times our vision of what God is doing is hindered by what's happening, by circumstances and by our own doing. A lot of people lost their focus on Christ last year, and some of them have not been able to regain it. And I have to admit, there were times that I fell to that too. Did you? And we have to refocus, and you have to keep trying. So you see, rather than commanding people to forget everything that they have lived or experienced, God is saying, learn from it. Look at it. Be reminded. But don't dwell on it. Do not allow it to hinder your vision for today and what I'm doing in your midst and the future plans that I have for you. But you know, the devil is an expert at reminding us of our past. You know what they say. When the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. He ain't got none, right? You see, but you, in Christ, and in Christ alone, you have a future that has been written, determined, approved, and sealed by God himself, the one who was the same yesterday, today, and forever. So no need to worry. Do not allow your past to cloud your future, and do not allow it to determine your future either. Let me give you the last two from Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14, where it says, brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul says, brothers and sisters, I do not regard myself as having taken hold of it yet. I have not attained it yet, not there yet, but one thing I do, says Paul, forget what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Wow. And Paul is saying, you know what? I know what's behind. I know, but I won't set my mind to it. I'm going to set my mind on things that I'm going to reach and go forward. And as he says right there, reach forward to what lies ahead. That's what you got to do. What do you do about your past? You reach forward to what lies ahead. You press on. You forward march. I know some of you have been in the military, and I've heard those terms, right? Forward! March! Forward march. That's in Marine language. Forward! I know John down there is marching right now. Downstairs. Sylvia, stop him. But you see, if you've ever been in the military and you march with a company, a platoon, or a flight, or a squadron, whatever you call it, in your branch of service, you know something? You're always marching forward. Never backwards. Now, that is until we leave this place and Ray corrects me because he knows his stuff. And he'll be like, let me show you something. But for now, I want to make believe that we always march forward. Why do I say that? When they say forward march, the soldier, whoever, is marching forward. When they say to the rear march, what do? They turn around. Are they marching forward? Yeah, they're still looking forward. They're not going... Right? You're marching forward. They've said, you know, left, you go left. You're still marching forward. Or you go right, you're still marching forward. You're always marching forward. I want you to know, no matter where God leads you, you always need to march forward, never backwards. Forget that moonwalk. We don't need to be doing that. But why we keep on reaching? Why we keep on marching? Why forward? Because there is something ahead. There's a goal. There's something to be reached. And in verse 14, Paul says, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What is the upward call of God in Christ Jesus? The call to a relationship with God in eternity. The call that is out of this world. That's his main focus. And that's where we need to refocus on our relationship with God. Pandemic or no pandemic, 2021 or no 2021, whether there's another swine flu coming from Africa. Did you know that? I saw the big signs when I entered the United States back from vacation. If you're coming from Africa, beware. There's another swine flu coming from there. And it's deadly. It's one thing or another. It doesn't matter. God is still on the throne. Amen? See, Paul recognizes that his price will come in eternity on the account of Christ Jesus doing the work of saving us on the cross and resurrecting power from the grave. It's not about his personal achievements. It's not about his accolades. Because if you look at chapter 3, once again, look at the context of what Paul is saying. If you look at verses 3 through 7, you'll see that he talks, I'm a Jewish, I'm a teacher, I'm a this, I'm a that, and I've done this and I've done that. Been there and done that. But look at verse 3, what he says, Philippians chapter 3, chapter 3. In verse 3, for we are the true... that's not it. Verse 4, I'm sorry. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, If anyone else has mind of put confidence in the flesh, I far more. And he goes on with this list. Check it out. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, I'm a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. You see, as to righteousness, which is of the law, found blameless. But look at verse 7. How interesting what Paul says. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. You see that? I've done this, I've done that. Been there and done that. Yet, none of that is important. I'll lay that all aside. I'll leave it behind because I have something else. Even though I can be counted blameless before people, I cannot be counted blameless before God. Only He makes me blameless in Christ Jesus. Therefore, that's my goal. I'm going to Christ. See, Paul is not forgetting the past, but he's putting it somewhere behind. He's choosing not to rely on his own achievements or his own thing for his salvation. He's not either allowing his past to prevent him from pursuing God's call to life. So guess what? Don't stop. Keep marching on. Too many Christians stop fellowship, stop praying, stop coming to church, stop reading the Bible, stop serving, stop giving, stop talking to one another in 2020. Come on, people of God. Press on. Reach out. Keep marching. No excuses. Let me ask you something. What if 2021 is worse than 2020? What are we going to do then? It's time to keep on marching. It's time to keep on reaching. It's time to put the past where it belongs, behind in the rearview mirror. You don't have to erase it. You don't have to delete it. You can't do that. It'd still be there. But focus, refocus on going forward. And last but not least, why do we do that? We don't need to be afraid because God is on our side. The only thing we need to fear is not following Jesus. He's the one that leads us and guides us. And together we can march to the beat of His drum on to victory. Why? Because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can be counted on, right? You don't need to deny your past. The only thing you need to deny is yourself, Jesus said, and follow Him. So I want you to remember that. Has He ever failed you? Has He ever done wrong to you? Has He ever forgotten you? No. See, the same God you trusted in 2019 is the same God you should have trusted in 2020. It's the same God we should trust in 2021 and for the years to come. He is still on the throne because He is the King. He still has a plan, and it's a perfect plan that He designed because He is sovereign and He is God. He is still faithful and He can be trusted. And He still loves us as the perfect Heavenly Father that He is. Therefore, don't deny Him. Learn from it. Don't allow it to cloud your future. Don't allow it to determine your future. Reach forward for what lies ahead, the call of God. And remember, God is the same always and forever. Have a renewed focus this year. Turn your eyes from the past to your godly future. That's what we need to do as an individual, as families, and as a church, as the people of God. You see, God doesn't expect you to forget your past. As a matter of fact, I want to finish with one more verse. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, in verse 15. Deuteronomy 5:15, God says to His people, remember, I instruct you, He says, I instruct you, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Remember the days when you were enslaved. Remember the days when you were enslaved. Remember, He's talking to us and saying, remember when you were without me. Remember when you were enslaved to sin. Remember your past life. Remember your life before I came and stepped into your reality. Don't forget that. But He doesn't stop there. Because He says, you know what? And the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Stop and think. Stop and remember. Stop and see your past. But also see your present and move on to your future. See, the idea behind remembering what's happened and what our past is and what our past was, it's not so that we get stuck in it, but so that we may be reminded of God's mighty hand and outstretched arm. Katrina was no joke, right? And we still talk about it. Why can't you put it away? Everything that we talk about when we talk about New Orleans, ever since Katrina, were you here for Katrina? I was here for Katrina. If you weren't here for Katrina, let me tell you what happened during Katrina. Because since Katrina, it placed a mark on our lives. And it wasn't funny. It wasn't good. You haven't forgotten. But hopefully you have a story to tell. But since then, let me tell you about God, what he did. And that's exactly what God wants us to do. The idea behind remembering our past is so that we may see him working in us from our past mistakes into a new life in he himself, making it all possible. Remember when you were slaves. Remember when you were a sinner. And we all are. But one thing is to be a sinner. Another thing is to be a sinner redeemed by the power of the blood of Christ. And you know what? By his outstretched arms. And his arms are still outstretched. By his mighty hand. And his mighty hand is still able to save. Let us not forget that. Father, we thank you for this wonderful word. Thank you for allowing us to be mindful of how much you have done, how much you're doing, and how much you will do. Because you know our past. And from our past, you have brought us into this present and onto the future. Father, I pray that every single person that's heard this message may be encouraged today to renew their focus, to fix their eyes on the prize, like Paul, on the supreme and awesome call of God in Jesus Christ. My friend, if you are listening, if you're online watching, wherever you are, if you're here, and if you have not yet placed your faith in Jesus Christ, this is your moment to do so. Why don't you right now tell him, oh God, I need to have faith. And the only way to have faith is to have true faith in you. That's the only way to have true faith. And I want to believe that you're out there with your outstretched arms waiting for me. I want to believe that you have a mighty hand and that you want to save me, that you want to keep me for yourself, that you want to adopt me as a child, that you want to make me your son and your daughter. And here I am. I surrender. I deny myself this time. I won't deny what I've done. I won't deny. I will confess right now my sin. And I will repent. And you will forgive me. And I accept it. Please take me in. You see, if that little prayer I just prayed is what really communicates what's in your heart and you need to do that today, please let us know. Call us, write us, text us, let us know. And if you're in here and you're saying, you know what, I need to repent and I need to surrender my life to Christ right now. I need to deny myself and give myself to him. If that's what you need to do, would you do so right now? And if that's your desire, if that's what you want to do, and you know you have to do that right now, raise your hand where you are, and I'm going to pray with you and for you. And we'll try to lead you. God wants all of us to understand that he worked in the past, he is in our present, and he's got a future for us.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.